Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
This is Dr. Mike Roizen, and you're listening to You, the Owner Manual podcast. This is the B segment, the guest segment. And believe it or not, this is the 1,000th B podcast. This is number 1,000, so we had to get a special guest for you. Dr. Brian Koo is the Associate Professor of Neurology at Yale University School of Medicine. He's Director of the Yale Center for Restless Legs, and he's also Director of the Sleep Medicine Laboratory at the Connecticut Veterans Affairs Health System. And I'll bet a lot of vets have problems sleeping, so we're going to get into that with him. I should remind you that you get to tell us exactly who you want as guests, if you want them. Just email me, and I'm going to give you, since this is my 1,000th one, my real email is Dr. Mike, D-R-M-I-K-E, realage at gmail.com, Dr. Mike, realage at gmail.com. The sponsor of You, the Owner's Manual podcast, 1,000th podcast, can't believe it, is Persona Nutrition. You can use personalized supplements if you want to. I do. How do you do that? Take the free online assessment to get supplements personalized just for you. You can go to mypersona.com. That's right. Visit mypersona.com and take the free online assessment. No obligation. You get to talk to a dietitian if you want to find out what you're missing or not in your diet, so that you can have what is appropriate for you. Mypersona.com. Dr. Koo is the Associate Professor of Neurology at Yale University, as I mentioned before. And Dr. Koo, I don't know if you knew Paul Barish, but he was one of my good friends, and he died today. He was the former chair of anesthesia and critical care at Yale. So I'm a little sad when I see a Yale name come up today. He was a great human being. But tell us about sleep and restless leg syndrome. How do legs and sleep connect?
Right. Thank you for having me on the show, Mike. So restless legs is one of the most common sleep disorders, probably after obstructive sleep apnea and insomnia. And the reason why it is associated with sleep is because the very uncomfortable and bothersome sensations in the legs, which usually manifest as an urge to move the legs, prevent sleep. And so that's why this is very connected to sleep, because when someone has severe restless leg syndrome, it's very difficult for them to fall asleep, and it might take upwards of several hours to fall asleep, and they also can wake up in the middle of the night and find it very difficult to fall back asleep.
How common is sleep apnea? You said that was the most common. How common is insomnia? And then obviously this is a cause of insomnia. So how common is restless leg syndrome? And does it affect men or women or both equally? And give us a little more background on it.
Sure. Obstructive sleep apnea affects between, I would say, about 10 and 20% of the U.S. population. Insomnia is probably a little bit less, maybe 8 to 16%. Restless legs affects between 5 and 10% of the population.
So that's almost 30 million people, between 15 and 30 million people have restless legs. And is it more common as we get older?
It is more common as we get older. It is more common in women at a ratio of about 2 to 1. But it can occur in children, but often, even if you get it as a child, it is likely to be a lifelong disease, which gets worse with age.
And tell me a little bit, when I'm really tired, my legs ache and I want to lie down. So the legs are somehow connected to our both desire to sleep and control of sleep. Why is that? Or is there a anatomic pathway? Is there something weird about the connection between the sleep center and our movement centers for legs?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, the sleep centers are in the hypothalamus in the brain, and there are a lot of hormones in the hypothalamus that are secreted that cause movement or cause non-motion when they are active at their different receptors. So there probably is, but those pathways are very complicated and they go through different parts of the brain and all the way down to the spinal cord. So it's a complex question, but there certainly is an association between movement and sleep.
This is almost an irresistible movement of legs. Do people kick their bed partner or another, and is this a cause for divorce or a cause for separating beds or you must have some very interesting stories.
Yeah, the central tenet of restless legs is an urge to move. So the person with restless leg syndrome will subjectively feel an urge to move. That being said, they will either, because they have this intense urge to move, they may just move their legs around a lot. They may have to get up out of bed. They may just have to wiggle their legs around a lot. But associated with restless legs is also involuntary jerking of the legs, which occur about every 20 seconds. And certainly persons with restless leg syndrome can kick their bed partners with one of these involuntary jerks. But I haven't heard that it's a cause of divorce per se.
Now, you also run the veterans, the Connecticut Veterans Sleep Center. And as you get older, and is it a increased cause when you've had injury, war injury? Is that more common, less common, or unrelated to, for example, injuries to the extremities?
Yeah, well, it's an interesting question because there are a lot of things that can, what we say, mimic restless legs. There are a lot of disease entities such as neuropathy. When someone has neuropathy or their nerves are affected, usually in the lower legs, they could present with tingling and pain in the feet and the lower legs. And sometimes this could kind of either mimic or it can kind of transform into this feeling of a really, uncomfortable urge to move the legs. And so there might be some connection between previous injury and restless legs, but I would say that probably it's less so of the traumatic type of injury, but maybe perhaps more so with the injury related to disease processes such as high sugar of diabetes.
Now you were at, and I forgot to mention because I wanted to mention, before you went to Yale, you were in Cleveland, and I don't remember knowing you, but and you probably didn't know me. You were at Case Western for part of the time, as well as at Cleveland Clinic part of the time for your fellowship in sleep medicine. So is there a difference across the country? In other words, do people on the West Coast have more of this? East Coast, is it related to environmental toxins? Do farmers get more of it? Do we know any of that epidemiology?
We know some of it. Actually, I was interested in this partly years back. I looked at the different epidemiologic studies across the world, and there was some indication that there appeared to be an increase of prevalence of restless legs in higher latitudinal areas, kind of similar to multiple sclerosis. And so most of the studies that have looked at the prevalence have either been done in the United States or in Europe. And just because there's many more countries in Europe than there are countries in North America, it was easier to kind of look at this through the European-based studies. And the prevalence was quite high in many Scandinavian countries, and it was kind of intermediate in countries that were such as Germany, that were not as far up in terms of latitude as Scandinavia, and it was much less so in countries such as, you know, Italy and Turkey. So there does seem to be perhaps maybe an association with latitude. Whether or not that also is responsible for what appears to be differences across race is possible, but it does seem to be much more common in Caucasians than African Americans, for sure, and probably more common in Caucasians than Asians and Hispanics.
More of You, the Owner's Manual, coming right up. But let's take a moment to talk about your health. Dr. Roizen will tell you that a common question he gets asked often is what vitamins he likes, what he recommends. Without knowing more about their needs, that question used to be almost impossible to answer. Now, however, it's easy. Go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and take your free assessment. It's a smart and easy way to get personalized supplement recommendations. The Persona Assessment is backed by the latest nutritional research and the expertise of Persona's Medical Advisory Board, which consists of 8 nutritionists, a pharmacist, and 5 medical doctors, including Dr. Michael Roizen. All the latest scientific data and nutritional research put into one supplement program personalized for you. Just take the 5-minute assessment to get your free recommendations based on your goals, lifestyle, allergies, special diets, and prescription meds. Convenient vitamin packs are delivered to your door each month. Whether you want to sleep better, have more energy, or simply stay as young as you can, go to personanutrition.com/Roizen and get 50% off your order today. Half off now at personanutrition.com/Roizen. That's R-O-I-Z-E-N.
We're talking with Dr. Brian Koo, who's an associate professor of neurology at Yale University and director of the Yale Center for Restless Leg Syndrome. And he's also director of the Sleep Medicine Laboratory at the Connecticut Veterans Affairs Health System. Dr. Koo, you gave me a primer on restless legs. And one of the things you said is ask to have your ferritin level tested. Your ferritin level reflects iron in the blood. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah, there does seem to be a close association between iron and or ferritin and restless leg syndrome. And in large part, we believe that's the case because there seems to be an iron deficiency in the brain in persons with restless legs. And this data comes mostly from postmortem studies in persons that were generous enough to donate their brains after they died that also had restless legs. And when you look at different areas of the brain, and these areas include deeper areas in the midbrain, such as the substantia nigra, there is a decrease in the amount of iron and also in a protein called ferritin, which is a protein which stores iron.
Now, if we get iron in our diet, does that cure the problem? In other words, when someone has this, if they then are given some red meat or other substance with iron in it, other food with iron in it, do they cure the problem?
Well, maybe, maybe not. So there are certainly some cases of restless legs which are solely caused by a deficiency in iron. So, for example, if you one day decided just to become a vegan and subsisted on vegetables and had very little iron and you developed iron deficiency, you very well could develop symptoms of restless legs. And then if you then ate, you know, red meat for a period of weeks, then you could be cured of restless legs. But people with restless legs, for some reason, we don't really know why, seem to be less, their bodies seem to be less well adapted to getting iron into the brain. So even if they ate steak a lot, they still might have deficiency of iron in the brain. So there seems to be something, you know, wrong with their iron transport system into the brain.
Understood. We have been talking with Dr. Brian Koo, the associate professor of neurology at Yale University, who's an expert on restless leg syndrome. He's also director of the Sleep Medicine Laboratory at the Connecticut VA. Another item, Brian, you said was to get a medication checkup if you have this. Do some medications cause this?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the first things that a physician should do when they are meeting somebody or evaluating someone with restless legs, is to look at different medications and or over-the-counter medications that a patient is taking, because it is often that medications can cause or worsen restless legs. And I guess the obvious answer is then which medications would those be? So there are a number of medications that could worsen restless legs, and the main classes of medications are the dopamine blocking medications, such as antipsychotic medications used for schizophrenia and or depression. There are also dopamine blocking agents that are used for nausea. So that's another common cause. The first generation antihistamines often are associated with worsening of restless legs. So these are Benadryl. Some of the older antidepressants have a lot of antihistaminergic properties. Many antidepressants, unfortunately, are associated with worsening of restless legs, especially the ones with antihistaminergic properties, but also those with that increased serotonergic tone are associated with worsening of restless legs. And this is particularly unfortunate because the prevalence of depression in restless legs is very, very high. So what I often tell my patients is that, you know, antidepressants might cause your restless legs to be worse, but if you have severe depression, it is very important to get that treated. So you may very well have to deal with a little bit of worsening in restless legs and maybe increase medication for restless legs to combat that little bit of worsening that you get with the antidepressant.
We've been talking with Dr. Brian Koo, and I want to thank you. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to run through a list of other things you should do. But the most important one, and I didn't know this, but there are restless leg centers, restless leg syndrome centers, and there's a restless leg syndrome foundation. So those are important things to know if you or a spouse or someone you know develops this. We, of course, are sponsored by Persona Nutrition. Obviously, this was a big guest for this program because it's our 1,000th guest. 1,000B was the number of this podcast of You, the Owner's Manual. Thanks, Dr. Koo, for coming on. You can get vitamin packs personalized to you, as I do, from mypersona.com. Take the free online assessment and get the recommendations for you at mypersona.com. Thanks again, Dr. Koo. Joe, thanks for great engineering, but especially you, the listeners and downloaders of this podcast. Thanks to you, I wouldn't have been motivated to do 1,000 of these Bs without your support. So thanks very much, and do go to mypersona.com. See you next week. We have a set of wonderful guests. I've got the guest lineup. Haven't done the interviews, but we have the guest lineups all the way through mid-August. It's a sensational lineup. You won't want to miss any of these interviews. We'll be back next week. And remember the A segments, always the medical news of the week, usually that isn't COVID related, and what it means to you. Thanks again.